time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
And we're talking about walking in the truth. What does that mean? In a world of lies, the Bible says in John 8:44, Satan is the father of lies. Jesus said he was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And all the way back into Genesis, where the very first lie was ever told, was told by Satan. And by the way, what was that lie told about? It was told about the Word of God. It was told about the already revealed Word of God. And that's what we're seeing today, is people are lying about the Word of God. Satan is lying about the Word of God through his servants, through his preacher servants that are out there, through the world, in the culture, and the cosmos, as it describes the world system that we're living in. Satan is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2:1-2. He's the one controlling the narrative that we're hearing out there in the world today. And he's telling lies. And Christians are falling to these lies, and many of them are subtle, and many of them have crept into the church as a part of our thinking. And we take worldly thinking and we try to interpret the Bible with them. We try to do church and run the church many times based on worldly thinking. I'll never forget, I was interviewing at a church one time when I was I was having my own ministry, but this church contacted me and said, hey, we'd really love for you to come and be a part of our church staff and to lead this this student ministry of hundreds and hundreds of students at our church. And so I really wasn't looking for a job. I really was happy where I was. I thought, well, you know, I don't want to miss if the Holy Spirit might be leading. Let's just give them a listen. And I did this. And in getting behind the scenes, sort of behind the curtain in this church, I found out that this particular church was being run like a business. Now, I'm not saying that all business principles are wrong in the church. It's just saying that when you look at the church as a business, that's wrong, my friend, because the church, in the end, is not an organization as much as it is an organism. It's a living, breathing organism. It's to be shepherded with biblical principles. All that to say, is that there are many lies in the church, and I won't go into all of those. You can read my book that I wrote with Dr. Mark Hitchcock called The Coming Apostasy, The Sabotage of Christianity from Within. See, it's not just the lies that we face out there, because some of Satan's lies are just blatant. You know, Satan knocks on the door. Hey, can I come in? I'd like to tell you this bold-faced lie. And we go, that is ridiculous. That was the worst pitch you've ever given. We can see that coming a mile off. But you know what? Not all of his lies are like that. Some are very convincing. Some are very subtle. Some are very entertaining. Some are very enlightening. And we sometimes adopt those as Christians, so we have to be careful. And that's why John's saying here, and this little epistle, 3 John, hey, walk in the truth. I'm so, so excited that you are walking in the truth today. And so last time, that's where we ended, with verse 4, where he says, I have no greater joy than to hear of my children walking in the truth. And listen, if you have kids, I'm talking about actual kids who are walking in the truth, man alive, what a joy that is. But if you have spiritual children who are also doing the same, There is a unique sense of earthly experience of joy that comes from God, but you're experiencing it here right now on the earth that just cannot be equaled. You just can't compare anything to that. It's when your children are walking the truth. Then he goes on. This gets really good. He says, beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren. But what are you accomplishing for the brethren here? He says, especially when they're strangers. In other words, here come these Christian teachers, and they're coming to you, to your town, and you showed them hospitality, and you treated them as if God had sent them to you. Now, here's what we're not talking about, because there is a contrast to this in the latter part of this little epistle, where Paul talks about a man named Diotrephes, and he's described as this man who loves to be first among them. He loves the first place. He loves the adulation. He loves the attention. He likes the sound of his own voice. He's full of himself. He's an egomaniac. And you can just see it. I mean, people that really love themselves, you just know that when you're around them. And in fact, Paul talks about that in his epistles when he talks to Timothy about avoiding certain men. Jude talks about these people in great detail. And, you know, we have those people today. I mean, they're these strutting peacocks, you know, out there in the Christian world who really do love themselves. And it's obvious. And, you know, their picture is on the book cover. Instead of the book title, it's really their picture more than anything else because they're just full of themselves. Now, what John is saying here is that these servants were not like that. They were simply wanting to do what God had called them to do, and you treated them, watch this now, with honor and respect. You treated them as if, it goes on to say in verse 6, we'll see in a second, in a manner worthy of God. And what he's saying there, and here's where we have to make a real close distinction, because you and I, we've all been burned, we've all seen these strutting peacocks here in the world of ministry, and they're getting filthy rich, and we know from their deeds what their doctrine is, and we see those people, and we go, man, that makes me just think that way about all people who are in ministry. You know, if you're a pastor of a large church, or if you have a big ministry, or if you have some sort of name recognition or notoriety in the world, then guess what? You probably love yourself. But you know what? That's not true. That's not true of all people. There are people that are in high positions of Christian visibility in the world today that are very, very humble people. And I want you to know I've met both kinds. I've been with some very famous names that you would recognize and just came away thinking, man, the whole world revolves around you. I mean, you mistreat people. You're rude to people. You get on stage, you're the nicest person in the world. And then I've met people that are very powerful on stage, and you would think, man, he's an egomaniac. But when you meet him, he is a lowly servant of Christ who really wants to help you. You know what I'm saying? So we don't need to judge everybody, you know, with that same burnt template, as it were. But these teachers who came to Gaius, I mean, they were just, you don't know their names. I don't know their names. And by the way, most of the people that are serving Christ in the world, you don't know their names. Sometimes there's this cloud line that people rise above and the whole world gets to know their name. And you know, one of the things, I find this very humorous, by the way. It's humorous, but it's also sad that many times when we'll contact a church or talk to a pastor, and I have a dear friend who represents me sort of as my booking agent. Her name is Angeline. And when Angeline calls upon someone, or when I would talk to someone, they would raise two objections about why they can't bring me to their church to speak. And one of them is because they say, well, you're too expensive. Which I go, well, you don't even know what my honorarium is. How can you say that? And the second thing is they say this, I laugh at this. They go, you're too famous for us. And I just go, what in the world made you think I was famous? I mean, that really tickles my funny bone when people say that. Because, A, I am not famous, okay? There are many famous people in the world. I'm not one of them, okay? And, yes, my name's on book covers, and I'm in bookstores, and I get to be on radio programs and that type of thing. But, you know, I look in the mirror sometimes, and I just go, what, you? Are you kidding me? I'm just a servant of Christ like you are. I have a role to play in God's kingdom. It might be different from your role. That's cool too. Because guess what? You have a sphere of influence and you have gifts and abilities and talents that I don't have. And you get to do things I'll never get to do and vice versa. Well, guess what? These servants that came to visit Gaius were strangers. They didn't even know their names. And yet they got to know them. He says, they bear witness, these teachers now, to me, John says, of your love before the church, and you will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. What does that mean to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. He's going to explain that in just a second. But he's going to give us the reason, give Gaius the reason why he should do that. He says for, and that for is a Greek word which is an explanatory word. He says, for they went out, they left their homes. They left what they were doing. They went out. And I love this phrase. This might be my favorite phrase in the Bible. He says, they went out, watch this, for the sake of the name. For the sake of the name. And that one little phrase encapsulates the whole of a person's ministry. Whatever you do for Christ, you do it for the sake of the name. So that the name, his name, can be great. So that his name can be famous. So that his name can be spread throughout the nations. Not your name. Not my name. And I am very happy that people recognize my name. If that gives me a platform in their life so that I can teach them the Word of God and point them to Jesus Christ, fantastic. But that's really, you know, to be honest with you, other than just knowing who I am by my name, that's the other purpose of my name in the world. I mean, Jeff Kinley exists as a person to glorify God, to make him known, but Jeff Kinley's name on a book cover or on a pamphlet or on a poster or on a church sign or on a radio show or TV show, whatever, that name exists there for the sake of the name Jesus Christ. And it just speaks to these teachers' selfless ministry, not for their own sake, not for their own glory, not to us, O Lord, be the glory, but to your name alone. That's the point. And he says, find those people that come into your life like that. He says, send them on their way in a manner worthy of the God. Because he says here in the end of verse 7, they accepted nothing from the Gentiles. In other words, they were dependent solely upon the Christians who understood this whole principle about how important the truth is and how important the name was. Is the truth important to you? Is the name of Christ important to you? That's really what he's saying here. Then send them on in a way that would be worthy to further propagate that truth and further publicize that name of Jesus Christ. And that's why he says in verse 8, therefore, we ought to support such men. We ought to support such men. I'll never forget, years ago, I was a part of a church who was a very missions-minded church. And we had this thing called the Missions Committee that was made up of people that really had a heart for national, international missions, okay? And they would come together once a month and they would discuss the needs of the missionaries that we supported. And many times we would bring funds together to help meet special needs in those missionaries' lives. And, you know, I was leading a youth group at the time that we would go on these mission trips, and or I would come to the committee. And by the way, we worked a lot for our missions money back then. We'd do crazy events to raise money and, you know, things that I'm embarrassed to tell you about today. But other times we would come and say, hey, there's a need that we have. And to maybe give a scholarship to a kid that was going to, you know, a retreat where we'd hopefully they would come to know Christ. And many, many did. I remember one time I went to, this was not the missions committee, but the deacons committee. They were the guys that kind of did the finances in our church. And I had this idea. I mean, we had a huge group of high school guys who loved to play basketball. And I loved to play basketball with them. We had nowhere to play basketball. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm willing to sacrifice half of my backyard to put in a basketball court so that I can spend time with those guys and build relationships with them and disciple them. And so I said, you know, I did some research and I came to the deacons. I said, you know, I've come up with this proposal that for $600, I can pour a slab in my backyard and, you know, put up a basketball goal and that type of thing and be able to invite kids over. And I even said to him, I said, yeah, I'm willing for you to take this out of my salary, just deduct a little bit each month until I've paid it back and that type of thing. You know what they did? They voted unanimously just to simply say, no, Jeff, we'll pay for it. because this is a part of discipleship. It's a part of you getting the truth to those kids' lives by building a foundation of relationship with those guys and doing something that they enjoy doing. Guess what we did? We poured a basketball court, covered half my backyard, which meant two things. Number one, my kids were playing on concrete now. And number two, but on the positive side, I only had to mow half the yard now, right? But every single Sunday afternoon, those high school boys would come to my house and we'd do two things. We'd play basketball and we'd drink Gatorade and we'd just sit around and talk. And those relationships that were formed there through concrete, through basketball, helped me invest the truth into their lives. And many, if not all of those kids, they're now grown adults. They're now in their 40s. They have kids of their own. We keep in contact. And many of them are still walking with Christ today because the church had this philosophy of supporting such men. Now, I was a man in the church. I wasn't a traveling, you know, missionary. But they had that same philosophy towards our missionaries. And we supported them greatly. The church I'm a part of right now, we do the same thing. And he says to support such men. He's talking about there financially supporting them, prayerfully supporting them, encouraging them with your words, and any other way that you can do to support them. But it had a lot to do with finances. Because these guys were going out for the sake of the name. And when you support the truth, we go back to verse 6, in a manner worthy of God. You know what he's saying there? He's saying that when you support such men, it's really an act of worship to God. And you give money to help them towards special needs. And it might be, yeah, I need money for a plane ticket here, which some of my listeners have stepped up and said, Jeff, I want to pay your plane fare to this place that you've been called to go to. They can't afford to pay it, so I'm going to pay it so that you can go to do that. But that's how it works. And special needs that my ministry has from time to time. I won't go into that right now because I don't want this to be about me. But look what he says in verse 8. He says, why do you do this? Why do you support such men? He says, that we may be fellow workers with what? With the truth. There it is again. Fellow workers. It's a partnership there. It's the koinonia. It's what he's talking about there is the joint partnership in the gospel. This word here, fellow workers, that John uses here is the word that we get our word synergy from. Oh, so beautiful. Synergy. You know what synergy is? I can do something, you can do something, but when we do something together, it multiplies the impact. It multiplies the impact. That's what happens when you support ministries of men like this. Men that are going out for the sake of the name, not their own name. There's a synergy created there. And it's an act of worship. And that's, in matter of fact, that's why Paul wrote the book of Philippians, by the way. It was a thank you letter for the support they had given to his ministry. He says in Galatians 6, you know, that whole famous passage, you're going to reap what you sow. The context of that is in supporting the one who teaches the word. It's the double honor that is given to the elder who works hard at preaching and teaching. It's the principle that we see over in Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus is talking about ministry here, specifically here, the ministry of a prophet, it's specifically him as the prophet. But he says, he receives, you receives me, because he's sending them out. And he who receives me receives the one who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And he's talking about the principle of the fact of synergy, that whatever happens as a result of your gift to that person's ministry, you literally share in the reward of that. I mean, put it in a financial way, it's like a co-investment in something. You know, if you put 10% or so in a company, you're going to get back based upon what you invested. And God always pays back. Because he says in Galatians 5, you're going to reap what you sow. If you sow this, you're going to reap something good if you're investing in the right place. And here he's talking about men who go out for the sake of the name and when you support them, he says, you become fellow workers with the truth. Now, this applies obviously to your church. It applies to ministries that you support, and it applies to people as well. And isn't it a joy to be able to partner with this? You know, we hosted missionaries from India back when my wife and I were first newly married. These people are long gone on to be with Jesus. They're in heaven reaping their reward. Guess what? We get a part of that approval from God. We get a part of that crown. We get a part of that reward that God's going to give. So we get to be co-workers with the truth. We're co-rewarded through partnering with the truth. And that's what John wanted to encourage Gaius with. Brother, let me tell you something. You get something from this. And it's not about selfish, because it all goes back to Jesus anyway. You're doing this because of the, for the sake of the name as well, by supporting them. So I hope that encourages you to support others who work hard at spreading the truth of God. Talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.